One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Today on The Grave Talks, the history and hauntings of the James J. Eldred House, a conversation with Seth McGee and Chad Gobb. Deep in the heart of Greene County, Illinois, stands a haunting relic of the past, the James J. Eldred House. A grand Greek revival, it echoes with the whispers of its tragic past. Today, the house is a place of eerie reports, phantom footsteps, mysterious knocking, and the giggles of a young girl in the nursery. Visitors recount strange happenings, from rocks being hurled to ghostly touches that leave a cold chill. Are these just figments of the imagination, or do the spirits of the past still roam its halls? Today on The Grave Talks, the history and hauntings of the James J. Eldred House, a conversation with board members Seth McGee and Chad Gobb. Seth and Chad, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me tonight about the James John Eldred House. Now, this is in Eldred, Illinois. Could you kind of put it on the map for us in Illinois?
I had an elderly friend once that always kind of described our area as, if you picture Illinois, this is awful, I'm sorry. If you picture Illinois as a pregnant woman, we are right where the belly button would be.
I will never look at Illinois the same way again.
Yeah, me either.
Illinois will always be a pregnant woman to me from here on out. You know, and full disclosure here, I am like the world's biggest Chicago Cubs fan, so I do come to your great state every year.
Oh,
and
that's good.
And in fact, I've already been there this year. My sister lives in Iowa, but right on the Mississippi. So I took my dog on a little road trip and I took him across the river just so I could say he went to Illinois. So
I like that.
I've been to Illinois this year so far about 10 minutes. That's about all that took. The James John Eldred House. Now, this house was built, gosh, Seth, you are the unofficial historian and also a board member. Was it built in 1861?
1861, yes.
Okay. And built of limestone, and it's a two-story house. It's a good-sized house, right?
It is. So 2.5 stories, about. Yep. When it was finished, it was like 22, 24 rooms, depending on how you count. Big, big house.
See, when you look at the pictures of it, I mean, it looks good size, but I was really surprised when I saw how it was over 20 rooms in that house. What did Mr. Eldred do to be able to build a house like that? Because you would have to bring in the stone and everything, because is it built of limestone? Because it looks like that.
It is built of limestone. So the limestone was quarried right there in the backyard of the house.
Oh, that made it easy.
There are still markings along the bluff where the limestone was quarried. In the 1850 census, the Eldreds had 3 stonemasons living with them on the property at that time. So
they were just living there and working on the house?
They were living there working on the house. Well, there was a 4-story limestone barn. Well, 2 stories limestone, 2 stories wood, that was finished in 1851 and then the house in 1861. So they you know, it was a true farmer. He built his barn before his house.
What did he do? Did he get his money through farming?
We'll say that it was generational wealth. James's fourth great grandfather, John Eldred the Great, in the about 1680,
somewhere in that ballpark,
he was lucky enough as a young man, was working as a cloth worker in sewing clothes in a factory in London, bumped into the right guy and got to go to India. And while there, they were doing this expedition in India. 2 groups went in 2 different directions. And John Eldred said, you know, I don't believe we should go this way like you guys are. We should go this other way. And took a group of guys that way and ended up setting up the English East India Company. Brought back in their day, they calculated it by, it was 4,000 camel loads of nutmeg.
Oh, that's so interesting. It was by camel load.
Right.
That's interesting.
It was the largest import of spices into England at the time. It made him a very wealthy man, a very famous man. He's actually mentioned in Macbeth.
Really?
Yes. So John Eldred the Great, through his then connections, his celebrity, was knighted by the king and was offered a position on His Majesty's Virginia Company of America. So the group of people that funded the pilgrims to come here. So as part of whatever it was he did, his 3 of his grandsons came here and all held jobs for the king. One was a land surveyor. I think one was a trustee for public lands, and maybe one was like a road surveyor or something. They all had jobs for the king.
So they end up working for the king, and that brought them to Illinois?
So they land in Plymouth Colony, and they over the years work their way down the eastern seaboard. There's a line of Eldreds. There's like 3 generations.
Like, was this kind of in this 1760-ish time frame?
So about 1805, Jehoshaphat Eldred III is in New York State.
Okay.
And they are, they're landholders. They are raising bees and selling the honey. And, you know, for whatever reason, they have their eye on Illinois. You know, Illinois doesn't become a state until 1818. In 1816, Jehoshaphat sends two of his sons to Illinois. They walk to Illinois to survey land. They bring with them a journal and a land survey book that is still in the Eldred family today.
They walked.
They walked, yes.
Wow.
They end up in the area of Edwardsville, where there's a land office, and meet an aspiring politician. You know, Illinois is not a state yet. They're working on the state constitution. And he says, you know, Ward says, the family's not going to come unless Illinois is a free state. And this guy says, you know what? We don't know. We don't have our constitution. And Ward walks back with his cousin. They
just walked back.
So they walked here. They walked back.
And it's not like, you know, I walked my dog a mile today. You know, this was a trek.
I complain if I have to walk too far into the grocery store.
Exactly. It's like I have to park all the way back there.
Right.
You know, and this family, they were hard workers. It wasn't like, you know, and there were horses at the time. It seems like they could have gone that route. And even then, you know, I mean, that's how people traveled. But that would have been pretty brutal, riding a horse for days and days and days. But walking, right. I'm just kind of blown away by that.
So in 1818, they receive a letter from the guy's name was Churchill. His last name was Churchill. They receive a letter from him that says, you know, we haven't ratified the Constitution, but we will be a free state. You know, come on out. And then he lists off some like fruit trees and some seeds and things that he wants them to bring back with them. Ward then walks back out in 1820 and brings a herd of goats with him and leaves it in what was then northern Madison County, Illinois, what would soon to become Greene County. So January 1st, 1821, Greene County becomes the state legislature separates Greene County from Madison County, and there's a land sale held. Sometime there between the time, and we don't have an exact date, we're not for sure, but sometime between the time he brought the goats and the time of the land sale in 1821, 18 family members got on flatboats and came from New York State to Illinois and settled in the vicinity of Greene County. Land sale, January 1st, they're in Edwardsville. The Eldreds get there late. There was a gentleman's agreement amongst the farmers that they would not bid each other up. They had this agreement that the first person here gets their first choice of land, and then the second gets the second, and the third gets the third. No one's going to bid each other up. Nobody wants to pay the government more than what we have to for this land. So he gets there. He's late. A man by the last name of Hobson is there. He writes in his diary that the elders show up late and they have so much gold and silver that it is falling out of the saddlebags of their horses. They go up to the sale to where this Hobson bids against them. And it made Ward mad because there had been this agreement. Ward says, I have been here since 1818. I was here then. And the other guy, he says, I've been here since 1816. The Hobson says, well, I was here in 1818 and stayed. You went back to New York. And Ward got mad and said, and he paid significantly more for the land than what the opening bid was. And he got mad and he said, I will make you pay this amount for every section of farmland that you bid on to get even with you. Other farmers intervened and talked him out of it and allowed the Hobson to get the word, got the best piece of land, the one that he wanted, and then the Hobson got the second best piece of land. Family lore says the Hobson family built the first Hobson, now the Black family, built the first brick home in Greene County. They had the first non-log cabin for their family to get even. But, yeah, who knows? They do have the oldest brick home in Greene County.
Is that house still standing?
That house also still stands. Wow. Yes, it actually just celebrated maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. It celebrated, it's probably been longer than that, time escapes me. But it just celebrated its bicentennial.
Wow. The house did.
And the current owner had a big open house for it. And the house is still in that same Hobson Black family.
This whole time it's still in the family?
Yes.
That's cool, isn't it?
It is.
And I love that they did an open house and let people come in it.
Right.
Yeah, that was actually last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, because we thought about going and something happened and didn't work out.
Yeah. Was it last year? See, time escapes me. It could have been 5 years ago. It could have been yesterday. I don't know.
And with those kind of houses, especially since a family's still living in it, you never get the chance to go into a house like that unless you know the people. So that had to have been a big deal for people to get to go inside and see it. That's really interesting to have a family, a house in the family for that many years.
That day, the Eldred family purchased 18 sections of Greene County land. So one for each family member.
That's a lot.
So a section of land is a mile square. So they bought 18 square miles of Greene County.
Wow.
And paid for it in gold.
And so they're all just going to basically have their own little community with their relatives.
Exactly.
Because that's a lot. So did they end up, did each person building on their section of land?
Well, so some people bought, that included the kids. So, you know, some of it was, so yeah, each of the main families built their own home. There are multiple Eldred houses around Greene County.
Oh, I love that.
Ours is the Eldred house. We like to think.
Are any of the others that were built back then with the Eldreds still standing besides this one? Oh, man, they built some good houses back then. And one more question about them. Are they empty or are people living in some of them?
People are living in them, yes.
Interesting, because this one, looking at the pictures, it looks like a solidly built house. Now, no one's living in it at this time, right? It's not in that good a shape.
No one alive,
no.
No one alive. Well, we're going to talk about that. So James ends up building this house with limestone that's right there, which is awesome.
He lived in it, so it was done, like you said, in 1861, and he lived in it till his death in 1910.
It was kind of tragic with his own family, because he lost his daughters in that house.
Yes.
Due to illness?
Mm-hmm. James had four children, three daughters, one son, and each of the three daughters died there at the home.
Can't imagine that kind of sadness to lose three girls.
Right. One, the youngest one, Alma, died first, and we're not for sure of what. She was four. And she died in 1861. And then the other two were both 17 at the time they died. Alice and the name is completely escaping me now. Alice and
Eva.
Eva, yes. Thank you.
See?
I I did a little digging.
We brought you along for some reason.
So Mr. Eldred lived there a long time, and Mrs. Eldred, was she alive quite a while as well?
She outlived him.
Okay.
So,
and their son, did he live into adulthood?
Ward Jr. lived into adulthood. He himself married and had children.
Okay.
So we do have descendants of the family that will visit the home.
Well, I would imagine there in the area there would be quite a few, since so many came out there. Like I have an area in Nebraska that's kind of like this with my family. They built the first frame house out there, and I'm related to so many people in that county in Nebraska. So I know there's a lot of family there, and I imagine with as many people as, you know, initially went there, there would be quite a few, I'm going to guess, remaining.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of Eldreds.
Yeah. So after Mrs. Eldred passed, did the home go to her son, or what ended up happening with it?
So at the time, so Ward Jr., so James, his wife Emmeline, their son Ward, and then Ward's two sons all lived in the home at the time of James passing. James had, starting sometime around 1900, there had been about seven, so the home is in the Illinois River bottoms. There had been about 7 years of floods, rendering their crops to not produce. They were unable to harvest their crops. The family lore is that James had loaned money to friends and family to help sustain them through the hard times. And James himself at that sixth year had to go in town to the Carrollton Bank, which was his cousin who owned the bank, and get a loan to put the crops in the spring. The seventh flood came, and he couldn't make the loan payment. And the Carrollton Bank, for $251, was going to foreclose on the farm that had been in his family, you know, since 1821. To save the farm, he sold it to his cousin, Albin Wilson, for $8,000. And Albin allowed him, his son, allowed James and Ward to stay in the house until James's death. They cash rented the land that they had once owned. So James's funeral is held in the front parlor of the house. After his death, Ward and the family move to Walkerville and leave the house. And that's the last time the house is really lived in. There are times during when the Illinois River would flood that families would come and stay there when they were flooded out of the bottoms. The houses stayed dry. It wouldn't flood because of its location. Or there's a time like in the mid-50s that a family moved in and fixed it up a little bit. And I'm not for sure how long they lived there, but they never fully got it repaired. And then during the 70s, it was used as a dormitory for an archaeological dig that was nearby.
I always find it so interesting when, you know, because I live in rural America, Eldred's rural, and you drive by a house that's, you know, long since abandoned, and you think, what happened? Like, why did nobody ever move back in and continue taking care of the house? When did it just become empty? In a house right. like that, you know, it just seems like it's a really well-built house. It just seems like it could have had, you know, lots of families living there and kids, and had a different history to it. It's just interesting that it just wasn't continually lived in with families.
It wasn't, because so the walls are solid limestone. They're in places they're up to like 18 inches thick.
Oh, wow.
It was not, it did not have the capacity to be electrified with the technology they had then. Obviously today we have the ability to run wiring and things in different ways. So it never, until, you know, honestly, we started the restoration, it was never wired for electricity. It has never had plumbing for running water.
To this day, it still doesn't.
And to this day, it does not, correct.
Because that would be a lot of money.
Right.
To put plumbing. I just had to have my sewage line replaced. That was really expensive. I can't imagine what that would cost.
Right.
I don't even want to think about that. So it is now on the National Register of Historic Places, correct?
Yes.
At what point did that happen and you decided to save it? Because, you know, so often in this situation, that's the house that you drive by that's sat there empty for years and years and years. And I really appreciate the fact that you're saving the house.
Thank you. So after, you know, in 1993, that area was decimated by a flood. It was the thousand-year flood.
Remember that flood.
Yes. Even though the Eldred House itself never flooded during that time, everything around it did. And the area decimated. That's the only word that I can continue to use. After everything had dried up, the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, Landmarks Illinois, these community development organizations came in and said, what can we do to help build or rebuild this Lower Illinois River Valley from this flood? And the determination was to create, other states had done this, to create Illinois' first national scenic byway. And it was to run from Alton, Illinois, you know, across the river from St. Louis, and end at the Eldred House. The Eldred House was going to be the end terminal, it was going to be an information center and a museum. And it would be a big loop and, you know, predominantly attractive to the people of St. Louis and a nice little river getaway.
Mm-hmm.
The group actually was successful. The National Scenic Byway was granted, I guess. Then, you know, back then there was a lot of confusion about what the scenic byway would create, and some people became scared, is a good word. Jersey County, so if you follow the scenic byway, it goes Madison County, Jersey County, Greene County. Jersey County backed out of the scenic byway. So it was no longer a contiguous road from
Alton
to Eldred. And so it had to be there. It left Greene County out, and the Eldred House lost the funding for it.
Oh.
So the organization that we're with, the Illinois Valley Cultural Heritage Association, at that time owned the house, but had lost the funding for the restoration.
So then what happened after that then?
And that was what, 94-ish, 92-ish?
97, somewhere in there. 98. So we took it on ourselves, basically. The board itself began doing fundraisers, things like, one of the things we love to say is the Eldreds are still supporting the house through their through their activities.
Really? Literally?
Yes. Yes. So So events like our ghost hunts fund the restoration of the house, or in stabilization, keeps it up and going.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the history and hauntings of the James J. Eldred House. For more information on the house or paranormal investigations, visit their Facebook page. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it there for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.